Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we have the show of all shows of all time, the Galaxy Show of Holden Village. Oh, yes, Holden Village. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from the Holden Auditorium on television tonight in front of these great TV cameras. Yes, another day at Holden Village, Chelan, Washington, 98816. We begin our program, yes, as the monkey said when he got his tail caught in the lawnmower. Now, our first act here is an Indian Tom, Connie, Bacon, and Egg. Tom, Connie, Bacon, and Egg. Which reminds me of eggs. Why does a chicken cross the road? To get away from Colonel Sanders. Right. Introducing Tom, Connie in Bacon and Eggs, and I Like Sausage with Mine.
A fried egg.
Over easy.
With bacon on the side.
Our next act will be
Housekeeper in Smoxiba. Housekeeper in Smoxiba. Housekeeper to clean to clean. Housekeeper to really clean.
We prepare the room for every guest.
Housekeeper is our specialty.
Housekeeper, what is your best? Housekeeping. Hey, please,
My popcorn field. It was a very hot day, and the corn was popping all over, and the horses broke into my popcorn field. Yes, and they froze to death and died. They thought they were in a snow field.
Wow.
Yes. Do you remember that time Ole and Sven and I were driving down the highway? We saw a guy fishing in a plowed field.
Yeah.
Well, I said to Ole, should we go and tell him there's no water over there? And the guy, and Ole says, no, we can't. We ain't got a boat. our next number is by Scott and Paul. Do you know Scott and Paul by Scott?
Hubba bun, hubba bun, hubba. By the Yellow River Kitchen.
Reminds me of the time when I was riding down the lake on the Lady of the Lake. Yes, there was this Norwegian riding on the lake who fell in the lap of an old lady. She said, "What kind of a man are you?" He said, "Well, I once was a Norwegian, but now I'm a Laplander." Now we have Old Man River. Yes. He's singing about the river. And this person here is right with us here, Harvey. Yes. Welcome, Harvey, to our great production tonight. Harvey has sung at all the major events, baseball games, basketball games, football games, and all other events covered in the National Esquire.
Let me go away from the white man's arms.
Again, yes, Laura and Rachel. Welcome, Laura and Rachel, to the stage of our great show here tonight.
Hi, I'm Dupla.
I'm Kate.
And we're sisters.
Never such devoted sisters. Never had the top of a rose so sir. I'm there to keep my eye on her. Caring, sharing, every little thing that we are wearing. When a certain gentleman arrived from home, she wore the dress and I stayed home. All kinds of weather we stick together, save in the rain or the sun. Two different places for the entire duration. We think Gally acts as the one. Those who see that, you know there's not a thing to come between us. Many men have tried to split us up, but no one can.
Reminds me of the time I was recently fishing at Hart Lake. Yeah, I didn't have any bait, so I cut out a picture of a worm and hung it on my hook. Threw the line in the lake and pulled up my line, and there was a picture of a fish. Yeah. Saturday night is the next act. I remember Saturday night in Webster, South Dakota. I saw a drunk laying on a curb. And I said, why are you laying on the curb? And he said, I'm trying to curb my drinking habit. Now, Saturday night at Holden Village Winter Community. Saturday night, that's where you go out on the town, like we do in Webster, Chili Pool Room, Bresky's Cafe, and so forth in Webster. Boy, it was so cold out in Webster last year. Well, I looked out the window and I saw a jackrabbit pushing a cottontail to give it a start. Yeah. Now we have here Saturday night at the Holden Village Winter Community. Welcome the famous actors. Yes, I was an actor once.
Ma. Hi, yes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Is it time yet?
I don't know. Watch it. Hey. What's it? Time yet?
Oh, I don't know. I'll go.
Excuse me,
Jeffers.
Is it time yet?
I don't know, Spiller. I reckon I'll check, though. Well, it ain't time yet.
Jed, it's not time at all, no.
Not time.
Are you absolutely sure it's not time yet?
Well, I reckon I'll see it.
Is it time yet?
Yes.
Yes, we have more time than money. Yeah, the clock flew. Time went so fast here, we had to throw our clock out the window to see time fly. Forgot what time it was. Our next number is the Stairs song. The Stairs song, the Stairway probably to success, right?
Okay.
Yes, yeah. Okay, 30 seconds, it says here.
Okay, our first number, we don't know who wrote it or where it came from, but it's a short little number, but, oh yeah, it's called Jailbreak.
One, two, three, one, two, three, four.
I hear somebody say encore?
You asked for it. All right. For my next song, this is one that I wrote. It's one of my favorites. It's a little tune called Chinese Garden.
Well, well, Harvey, here we meet again over here.
Yes.
Our next one is Marilyn Fenn. Is that the name? Marilyn Fenn, How the West Was Won. Yes, my grandpappy came out to the West. And remember that?
No, I didn't know your grandpappy.
Well, anyway, we were coming out here, Ole Sven and I, and riding to Chelan, wasn't it? And I had to go to the friendly dentist. Yes, and the dentist was down in the mouth. And he said, well, do you like gas? And I said, yeah, check the oil, too. Now we have Marilyn Fenn and How the West Was Won. Also a hit record, Welcome Miss Fenn. The great...
I'm sure you've all heard of Horace Greeley, the editor of the New York Times, who wrote in the late... 1800s. Now, Horace Greeley wrote an editorial in which he said, go west, young man, go west. And I'm going to tell you about one such group of people who took that man at his word, who joined a whole throng of Americans who surged out to the west coast to find their fortune. I'm going to introduce you to these people. And first of all, I'll begin with a grandmother and a grandfather and their little orphaned grandson. Now, here's Junior. Now, Granny.
Junior, put down that gopher. You never know where it's been.
Grandfather.
Now there's the fearless leader who's going to take them out west.
I'm gonna take this wagon train out there to the west coast and bring it through safe and sound so these little folks can make their home out there in the land of opportunity.
Now we have a scarlet woman who is going out to set up house in San Francisco.
Hello, big boy. How'd you like to come over to my wagon with a little Mother Jim?
Now she's taking one of her girls along.
That's all I get. I tell you, I work day and night, and all I get is pennies, nickels, and dimes. This life just ain't worth it.
Now, there are two classical vocalists who are going out to try and join an opera company in San Francisco. We have a tenor and a soprano.
Oh,
And last but not least is a city slicker, straight from Manhattan, going out to make his fortune. His mama sent him. Oh, I hope we see them savages. My mother gave me a brand new shiny pistol. Bang, bang! Now, these people go west and they gather in Kansas. And they collect to go across as a group so that they can guard each other from savages. Now, as they roll out across the Great Plains, they watch all day long as the dust billows into their nostrils, the crease of their throat, into their eyelids, their ears, armpits. Everywhere is dust and sun and heat. But all the time they are alert, looking for the enemy. One day, rolling along, sweating, feeling wonderful, hungry, dying of thirst. They love it. And all of a sudden, the warning goes out. Savages! And down across the prairie rides the Indians. And the arrows fly. And the guns burst. A two-hour battle ensues. It's nip and tuck. The dust flies and billows, and one can hardly see who's ahead. It's looking dangerous for the white man. Then we hear the cavalry. They ride down into the milieu. More fighting guns. Arrows. The pitch is high for hours and hours and hours, and the sun is setting, and the battle is over. And we see a lone horseman sitting upon a hill, a silhouette, and we hear.
Pretty good. Me never play white man horn before.
Yeah, sir, it reminds me of the time I was driving over to South Dakota and I picked up a Chinaman. Yeah, this here tailing pile was named after a Chinaman, you know. His name was Tay Ling. Yes. Anyway, he had to go to an eye doctor, and the eye doctor said, I'm sorry to tell you that you have a cataract. He says, oh, no, me have Rincon Continental. Now, about the pool hall, yes. Trouble in River City.
Mr. Freeze, you stop it right there. I know your middle name is Poole.
Poole, yes, yes.
Friends, don't you realize this man is a menace to your community? Friends, help me get this one. Either you are closing your eyes to a situation you do not wish to acknowledge, or you are not aware of the caliber of disaster indicated by the presence of a pool hall in this community. Well, you got trouble, my friends. Right here, I say trouble, right here in Holden Village. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player. Certainly mighty proud to say I'm always mighty proud to say it. I consider the hours I've spent with a cue in my hand as golden. Help me cultivate horse sense, the cool head and the keen eye. Did you ever take and try and take a lead to yourself from a three-rail billiard shot? But just as I say, it takes judgment, brains, and maturity to score in any ball climb game. And I say that any boob can take and shove a ball in a pocket. And I call that sloth, the first big step on the road to the depths of degradation. I say first, medicinal wine from a teaspoon, then beer from a bottle. And the next thing you know, your kid is playing for money in a pinchback suit. And listen to some big out-of-town pastor hearing him tell about horse race gambling. Not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they sit down right on the horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy sitting on Dan Patch, makes your blood boil, well, I should say. Now, friends, let me tell you what I mean. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pockets in the table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum with a capital B. That rhymes with P. That stands for pool. And all week long, your Holden Village kids will be frittering away. Say, staff and faculty, frittering. Frittering away at that school time, supper time, prayer time, too. Get the ball in the pocket. Never mind getting homework done or the dining room vacuumed or your vespers written. Never mind checking any circuits till the village is caught with a fire siren on Sunday night, and that's trouble. Friends, you got lots and lots of trouble. I'm thinking of the kids in the Knickerbockers, shirt-tailed young ones, peeking in the pool hall window after school. You got trouble. Friends right here in Holden Village. Trouble with a capital T, that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. Now, I know all you folks are the right kind of parents, and I want to be perfectly frank. Would you like to know what kind of conversation goes on while they're loafing around that hall? They'll be trying out jukebox, trying out ping pong, trying out cigarettes like cigarette fiends, and bragging all about how they're going to cover up the telltale breath with popcorn one fine night. They leave the pool hall, headed for the dance at the center. Libertine men, scarlet women, and ragtime. Shameless music, it'll drive your son, your daughter, to the arms of the jungle. Animal instinct, masteria. Friends, the idle brain is the devil's playground. Trouble!
Trouble.
Right here in Holden Village.
Right here in Holden Village.
With a capital T that rhymes with P that stands for pool.
That's for pool.
We've surely got trouble.
We've surely got trouble.
Right here in Holden Village.
Right here.
Got to figure out a way to keep the young ones moral after school. Mothers of River City, Holden Village, heed the warning before it's too late. Watch for the telltale signs of destruction. The minute your son leaves the house, does he rebuckle his knickerbockers below the knee? Is there a nicotine stain in his index finger? A dime novel hidden in the bathroom? He's starting to memorize jokes from Wes Preeb's joke bag? Certain words creeping into his conversation. Words like popcorn. Yeah, and peas of the Lord. If so, my friends.
Trouble.
Oh, you got trouble.
Oh,
you've got terrible, terrible trouble. That game with the 15 number balls is the devil's tool.
Devil's tool.
Oh, yes, you got trouble, trouble, trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Great big trouble with a T.
With
capital
T.
That rhymes with P.
That rhymes with P.
That sounds more cool.
Here we are again.
Yeah.
It's been a great evening at the Holden Village Auditorium, hasn't it? Thousands of people gathered and listening to our great program tonight on TV. Certainly has been an honor to be here with all these great, talented actors and actresses. Yes. Reminds me of the time. Anyway, as the monkey said when he backed into his meat grinder.
I've been detailed.
He says I'm a little behind in my work. Now.
You've been to the restaurant.
Yes, I was in the restaurant lately in your town. Yes, it was your town, I believe, and I ordered a cup of coffee, and I said, waitress, there's a fly in my coffee. And she said, what did you expect for 30 cents, butterflies? Yeah. And I said, waitress, there's a fly in my soup. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you
want? And she replied, I believe it's doing the backstroke or something like that. That's the time we gave Uncle Nels a pair of water skis for his birthday. But he went crazy looking for a hill on Lake Superior. Yeah. Now, we have another great actress with us who has recited many stories on television. She is noted for her outstanding actressing, and she was also noted for her outstanding ability as a reader. She reads bedtime stories, like Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet eating her curd and whey. Along came a spider, sat down beside her, and she ate that too. Anyway, so Carla is going to come forward and give us our bedtime story. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, Carla, where did you go? From Sway Back. Go ahead now and give us your little ditty.
I would like to close this program with three little stories, Frog and Toad stories, by Arnold Lobel, and I have an illustration for each story. If you can't hear me, just let me know, because I kind of have a cold. If anybody wants to come sit up front, they can. The first story I'm going to read is called cookies. And this is my favorite story. I think a lot of the people on staff have heard it. Toad baked some cookies. These cookies smell very good, said Toad. He ate one. And they taste even better, he said. Toad ran to Frog's house. Frog, Frog, cried Toad, taste these cookies that I have made. Frog ate one of the cookies. These are the best cookies I have ever eaten, said Frog. Frog and Toad ate many cookies, one after another. You know, Toad, said Frog, with his mouth full, I think we should stop eating. We will soon be sick. You are right, said Toad. Let us eat one last cookie, and then we will stop. Frog and Toad ate one last cookie. There were many cookies left in the bowl. Frog, said Toad, let us eat one very last cookie, and then we will stop. Frog and Toad ate one very last cookie. We must stop eating, cried Toad as he ate another. Yes, said Frog, reaching for a cookie. We need willpower. What is willpower? Asked Toad. Willpower is trying hard not to do something that you really want to do, said Frog. You mean like trying not to eat all these cookies? Asked Toad. Right, said Frog. Frog put the cookies in a box. There, he said. Now we will not eat any more cookies. But we can open the box, said Toad. That is true, said Frog. Frog tied some string around the box. There, he said. Now we will not eat any more cookies. But we can cut the string and open the box, said Toad. That is true, said Frog. Frog got a ladder. He put the box up on a high shelf. There, said Frog. Now we will not eat any more cookies. But we can climb the ladder and take the box down from the shelf and cut the string and open the box, said Toad. That is true, said Frog. Frog climbed the ladder and he took the box down from the shelf. He cut the string and opened the box. Frog took the box outside. He shouted in a loud voice, Hey, birds, here are cookies. Birds came from everywhere. They picked up all the cookies in their beaks and flew away. Now we have no more cookies to eat, said Toad sadly. Not even one. Yes, said Frog, but we have lots and lots of willpower. You may keep it all, Frog, said Toad. I'm going home now to bake a cake. This one is called A Story, The Story. One day in summer, Frog was not feeling well. Toad said, Frog, you are looking quite green. But I always look green, said Frog. I am a frog. Today you look very green, even for a frog, said Toad. Get into my bed and rest. Toad made Frog a cup of hot tea. Frog drank the tea, and then he said, Tell me a story while I am resting. All right, said Toad. Let me think of a story to tell you. Toad thought and thought, but he could not think of a story to tell Frog. I will go out on the front porch and walk up and down, said Toad. Perhaps that will help me to think of a story. Toad walked up and down on the porch for a long time, but he could not think of a story to tell Frog. Then Toad went into the house and stood on his head. Why are you standing on your head? Asked Frog. I hope that if I stand on my head, it will help me to think of a story, said Toad. Toad stood on his head for a long time, but he could not think of a story to tell Frog. Then Toad poured a glass of water over his head. Why are you pouring a glass of water over your head? Asked Frog. I hope if I pour water over my head, it will help me to think of a story, said Toad. Toad poured many glasses of water over his head, but he could not think of a story to tell Frog. Then Toad began to bang his head against the wall. Why are you banging your head against the wall? Asked Frog. I hope that if I bang my head against the wall hard enough, I will think of a story, said Toad. I am feeling much better now, Toad said to Frog. I do not think I need a story anymore. Then you get out of bed and let me get in, said Toad, because I feel terrible. Frog said, Would you like me to tell you a story, Toad? Yes, said Toad, if you know one. Once upon a time, said Frog, there were two good friends, a frog and a toad. The frog was not feeling well. He asked his friend the toad to tell him a story. The toad could not think of a story. He walked up and down the porch, but he could not think of a story. He stood on his head, but he could not think of a story. He poured water over his head, but he could not think of a story. He banged his head against the wall, but he still could not think of a story. Then the toad did not feel so well, and the frog was feeling better. So the toad went to bed, and the frog got up and told him a story. The end. "How was that, toad?" said frog. The toad did not answer. He had fallen asleep. This one's called, I think, A List. Okay. One morning, Toad sat in bed. "I have many things to do," he said. I will write them all down on a list so that I can remember them." Toad wrote on a piece of paper, "A list of things to do today." Then he wrote, "Wake up." "I have done that," said Toad, and he crossed out, "Wake up." Then Toad wrote other things on the paper. Eat breakfast, get dressed, go to Frog's house, take walk with Frog, eat lunch, take nap, play games with Frog, eat supper, go to sleep. Really rough day. "There," said Toad, "now my day is all written down." He got out of bed and had something to eat. Then Toad crossed out, "Eat breakfast." Toad took his clothes out of the closet and put them on. Then he crossed out, "Get dressed." Toad put the list in his pocket. He opened the door and walked out into the morning. Soon Toad was at Frog's front door. He took the list from his pocket and crossed out, "Go to Frog's house." Toad knocked at the door. "Hello," said Frog. "Look at my list of things to do," said Toad. "Oh," said Frog, "this is very nice." Toad said, "My list tells me that we will go for a walk." "All right," said Frog, "I'm ready." Frog and Toad went on a long walk. Then Toad took the list from his pocket again. He crossed out, "Take walk with Frog." Just then there was a strong wind. It blew the list out of Toad's hand. The list flew high up into the air. "Help," cried Toad, "my list is blowing away. What will I do without my list?" "Hurry," said Frog, "we will run and catch it." "No," shouted Toad, "I cannot do that." "Why not?" asked Frog. "Because," wailed Toad, "running after my list is not one of the things that I wrote down on my list of things to do." Frog ran after the list. He ran over hills and swamps, but the list blew on and on. At last, Frog came back to Toad. "I am sorry," gasped Frog, "but I could not catch your list." "Blah," said Toad. "I cannot remember any of the things that were on my list of things to do. I will just have to sit here and do nothing," said Toad. Toad sat and did nothing. Frog sat with him. After a long time, Frog said, "Toad, it is getting dark. We should be going to sleep now." "Go to sleep," shouted Toad. "That was the last thing on my list." Toad wrote on the ground with a stick, "Go to sleep." Then he crossed out, "Go to sleep." "There," said Toad, "now my day is all crossed out." "I am glad," said Frog. Then Frog and Toad went right to sleep. Good night.
Well, folks, well, Harvey, have you left us? Thank you all for this fine, great evening at Holden. To our TV audience who was so great to listen in here tonight. And as we say adieu, the end, come back again for another great show. Thank you all the actors and actresses who came here tonight for this show. Let's give them all a hand. Thanks for the memories of this great night. And we will meet when it's light. Thank you all. Good night. ABC and you soon before you get to your room. Good night. Thanks for the memories.